Do you want to learn how to get healthy, perform at your best, and create body composition changes that last? In this podcast, we're going to talk about all things fitness, nutrition, health, and mindset. You're going to learn how to create real results, and most importantly, how to maintain those results in the long run. I'm Johan Vesters.
I'm Christine Ndali.
And you're listening to Talking Nutrition. What's up, and welcome back to a new episode of Talking Nutrition, episode 11 today, where we're going to get into another Q&A, probably our favorite format so far, which is why we're going to do a lot more of this. So once again, if you want to submit any questions or topics, hit us up, right? We want to talk about the things that you want to learn about. So hit me up on Instagram, hit Christine up on Instagram, DM us at Talking Nutrition Podcast, and we'll make sure to, to include your questions and topics. So what we're going to talk about today is, with so much nutrition information out there, how can we figure out what's going to work for you? Then we're going to talk about working with doctors who aren't necessarily taking their clients' hormones panel too serious. Then we'll talk about calculating calorie needs, whether you're going to be using your current weight or goal weight in different scenarios. Christine's going to touch on how to get enough calories when you're stressed and when you're dealing with anxiety, for example, when it's more difficult to actually, you know, get enough in. And then lastly, we're going to talk about increasing muscle without gaining too much body fat, and if it's even possible to gain muscle without any additional body fat. So first of all, with so much information out there, how can we figure out what's going to be working for you? I love this question because it is very confusing. And this is exactly why I feel like I got into this, because this is what I was struggling with, right? 10 years ago, and our clients too. Now, first of all, we know what's true within research, or, you know, we know what's at least closest to the truth based on most of the research. A lot of different diet camps, you know, keto, carnivore, vegan, whatever, will kind of like take one study and run with it, right? And then like that's proof that something is true. However, with that approach, you could almost prove, you know, any claim, you know, not every, but just about every. So instead of looking at single studies, even though we might still be pulling up single studies on this podcast as well, we need to consider what's probably going to be true based on most of the research, right? Because we kind of know how things work. At least we have a very good idea, right? We know that weight loss, you know, is achieved through a calorie deficit. If you want to gain weight, you know, we need to be in a calorie surplus. We need to be managing our energy balance based on our goals, right? We know that fruits and veggies are healthy for you. We talked about steps and stress recently, things like high protein diets, how they can be beneficial for muscle gain, fat loss goals, etc. All these principles of nutrition are basically what we know is probably true. So figuring out what works for you basically comes down to getting you to adhere to those principles, right? How can we get you to adhere to calorie deficit? How can we get you in the gym, lifting close enough to failure? How can we get you to get your steps in, etc.? And that takes a little bit of time, right? It's a matter of trying, or at least getting started. And figuring out what works for you might take one shot, maybe two, maybe even way more, because with so many approaches and programs and coaches, etc. out there, and especially with social media being so confusing, sometimes, you know, might take months or even a year or longer to actually find, okay, now I finally got something that I know I can stick to in the long run, right? Anything you would like to add there, Christine?
Yeah. We kind of talked on this last episode. For example, you know, people often go for keto, but they love carbohydrates. So you really have to ask yourself, is that going to work for you? Right? When you don't actually need to be removing carbohydrates to lose fat. So it's really looking at, like Johan said, we know the basics work and are good for us, getting in our fruit and veggies, eating, you know, protein at every meal, managing stress and steps. But trying to look long-term, like think long-term, am I going to be able to sustain what I'm doing right now a year from now? Right? That's a good question to ask yourself. And people often are just impatient, right? So decide, okay, is this something I think I can do long term? And then actually commit to doing it for like 6 months, not, you know, 1 month to do to 2 months. And you say, you think, oh, nothing's happening. Nothing's changing. Oh, it's not working for me. It takes time to see change. And the more sustainable your approach, the more success you will have long term. You'll have long term change. So yeah, that's my thoughts on that.
I totally agree. I want to add one thing though. Things like calorie deficits, you know, are technically not sustainable in the long run, right? If we stay in a deficit. And so sometimes we do need to make, you know, short-term kind of like trade-offs to eventually get to a sustainable place, right? So when it comes to dieting, for example, it's totally true. You're like, you're totally right. And we need to figure out a way where we teach you, hey, how can we get you to diet, for example, so that in the future you also know how to do it right? And how can we also take you back and, you know, bring you back from that? So I wanted to point that out because sometimes people use that almost as an argument, like against dieting, right? Against a calorie deficit and being like, oh, diets don't work. Like, well, they do in a way, but getting you to keep the weight off, for example, like that's the hard part. So diets work, but that second bit, which we talked about, I believe in episode 3, like that's the hard part.
Yeah. And something to think about, like if you're really confused and you seem to just not be able to figure it out on your own, hire a coach that you follow, that you trust, that can be super helpful. Even if you're just with them for like 3-6 months, they're going to help put you on the right track. Well, a good coach will. That is what you need as an individual, right? And they're going to teach you these different things that you could now take with you down the road when you're not working with each other. It's so beneficial. It's such a beneficial investment. And I'm not saying this because we're coaches. Like, I'm not even taking clients on right now, but Johan is. But it's seriously, it helps you kind of cut through the BS. But you have to find a coach that is open-minded too, right? Because again, there are coaches that are biased, and you know, in their ways, but finding one that has an open mind and, you know, can help you through what is right for you.
And even that takes a little bit of figuring out. And, because there's a lot of like coaches, you know, for the people who are not watching, like I'm doing air quotes, there's a lot of coaches out there on social media who basically just train and they're good at training and they look like they train. And then they're like, hey, you know what? We just sell my program, which is okay.
I was going to say that. Yeah.
But like, you don't know if these people did do a course or maybe not at all, whether they have done 10 courses, 20 courses, because there's people who have done a whole lot, you know, whether they have experience, whether they have results, which makes it difficult actually to find a good coach.
Something too to think about. So these people, there's so much information and there's people, you know, driving keto and carnivore and like veggies are bad and all of this type of stuff. Take a real hard look at these people. Like, are they trying to sell something? Right? Because typically they are. And that's something to really just keep an eye on and be aware of, that there's something driving them to push one thing. And it's typically because they're trying to sell something. Right? They're making money from that. So always just keep that in the back of your head. Like someone who is pushing that veggies and fruits are bad, that does not make sense. It just does not make sense.
It's almost like, oh, you know, like we've talked shit about everything. We've covered, you know, fats in the 80s and then it was carbs. And then, you know, like, it's like, okay, one by one, let's attack everything, you know, because it's like something new out there, you know, like right. Something that we haven't heard or at least for a while. And you're so right. You know, Liver King is a great example. He's like promoting, you know, eat liver and all this shit. And, you know, we live like our ancestors. And like, you click on the link and it's right there, you know, selling supplements, you know, of like, you know, beef liver supplements and all that, which, hey, I'm not even against, because some people would like to get those nutrients, but don't necessarily want to eat, you know, beef liver. However, like, our, you know, ancestors weren't taking supplements, right? Carnivore MD too. Like, he's like talking shit on fruits and vegetables. Or I believe I actually saw a video recently where he was actually including a little bit of fruit now. So you see that even those dudes are slowly like changing sometimes, you know, like sneaky, like making a little bit of a transition sometimes. But like, same thing. You go there and it's like supplements, right? In the last episode, I talked about a doctor who's like a fertility doctor, which is great, by the way, you know, and he has his doctor title, but those people don't get any training in nutrition, you know, and here they are, you know, selling supplements, programs, and be careful. Like, literally, like, if you're like, hi, I wonder if this is true, just go to their link and you'll see right away, you know, usually.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. So next question is, how do you work around a doc that isn't taking a client's need for a hormone panel seriously? So this has happened many, many times throughout my career of helping both women and men with hormonal issues. I will typically give them a panel, so like a full panel, and they'll, you know, bring it to their doctor, and we can see resistance there. Why, you know, it could sometimes the doctor is like burnt out. He doesn't want to do extra work. I truly don't really know why there's so much resistance with this, but how I work about it with my clients is like, I'm basically their advocate. So I will, if the doctor isn't, you know, say we want thyroid pulled, right? But they're only pulling TSH, or they're only pulling TSH and T4, you know, ask them why, you know, why won't you pull? They'll give you an answer. Then the client will typically come back to me, and then we kind of go back and forth like that. But if the doctor continues to just decline and not pull the labs, I move on. You know, we look for another doctor who will. I've had this like with my mom recently. It was like pulling teeth, trying to get her doctor to pull downstream thyroid hormones. So typically where I send my clients is on the functional med, like homeopathic endocrinologist type doctor, because typically they are going to pull a full panel. So at this point, like you can kind of go back and forth. You can ask them, okay, if you're declining pulling these labs, can you please write that in the records? And typically they're not going to want to do that. So sometimes they'll pull it. If they don't, we move on. The functional med / alternative type of doctors, they're gonna pull. It's something you have to be like really like you have to do your homework on and be careful with, because like there's the Western medicine that they'll push, you know, meds, things like that, right? And then there's also like the alternative medicine or Eastern side of things that will like really push supplements, right? So you really want to try and find someone who is kind of in the middle and isn't super biased to either side. And that's what I typically do, you know, with my clients, is trying to find a doctor who's in the middle there that will pull all the labs and look at everything. And then from there say, okay, do you potentially need medication. Some people do, right? Some people do need to go on thyroid meds. Or can we supplement with something, look at lifestyle, et cetera, for a time being and see if we can fix the issue that way. I had a client where she was having a lot of issues, symptoms arising of like thyroid issues. And it was years of this. And she would go to doctors, her TSH, this is an example. So her TSH was normal. So the doctors would not pull more labs, but there's a problem there. Okay. So we can have a normal TSH, but our T4 is not converting to T3 well. And that can lead to, that can show as hypothyroid, but we can still have a normal TSH. So now it's being missed, right? So someone has a thyroid issue, but it's for all of these years is being missed because we can't get the doctor to pull further labs. So that, again, now we can go even further with like thyroid where they're testing antibodies. And this is what happened with this client. So I sent her the breakdown of what I wanted her to get tested. They tested everything, including the antibodies, and she actually had Hashimoto's. So she was dealing with this for years, and the doctors were just telling her it was, nothing was wrong, until I sent her to more of a functional med doc who would actually pull these right away. And we found that right away. And we started to, you know, get after it and, you know, try and fix some of her issues. But there's not a whole lot you can do other than like asking why they're not pulling it. If they don't pull it, ask them to log that in the records. Typically, they don't want to do that, so they will end up pulling it. And then if there's just resistance, the resistance continues, move on to another doctor. And like I said, there's definitely good Western medicine doctors that will pull it. I've seen it. I've had it with clients. I'm like, and I, honestly, it shocks me because there's not a whole lot, if I'm being honest, but there is some. And so I'm not, you know, just attacking all these Western medicine doctors, because I'm not. They have their place and some will absolutely do that. But if they're not, I would just go over to like more of the functional med alternative side and get it done that way. That was really long-winded, but I did want to give an example of how this can happen, right? It's just, it happens often.
Yeah, no, I think it's good to break that one down in more detail, because honestly, like, this is one that we have had a list of like things we want to talk about. This one's been on there for a while. Like, It's also not that, you know, we're against doctors. Like you said, they're great and there's a place for them and we need them, right? And honestly, like for the local clients I have, or, you know, I'd love to have like a local person I could actually be in touch with, you know, because This is where that could be a great collaboration, like having your doctor and possibly having a coach. Like, look, we're no doctors, you know, like we can't like treat, you know, conditions and stuff. However, we can help you on the nutrition and lifestyle side of things, which really is in many cases often, you know, the root cause of a lot of conditions. Now, we're also there to be on your team to kind of push you to kind of like figure things out, because I've had the same exact thing, you know, a client of mine at the moment just had her blood work done, and she's had her blood work done like every couple of months for a while, because she had one of her thyroid glands removed. And also same thing, I think it was only T4 and TSH. It's like, okay, cool. Well, we actually don't really know what's going on now. So now she's kind of like asking more. But the answer she got was, yeah, well, we're just testing what's important right now. That was it.
And yeah, I really like, okay, don't understand it.
No, like, I really wonder why that's the case, because I know, I mean, I do understand, because I have some friends who are doctors too, but like, I understand from a time perspective, like we have more or we invest more time in our clients than a doctor has with a patient because they only have their 15 minutes. You come in and I 100% respect that and understand because they're often overworked, you know, et cetera. However, there needs to be like a solution, you know what I mean? And I really like that you actually, you know, figured it out with that client and you actually found someone who could help, et cetera. And that's really what you want to do. And that really comes down back to that trying, you know, you got to keep trying because sometimes it takes a little while to figure it out.
Yeah, it does.
Actually, I had an application from someone who just finished a med school who's going to become a doctor who asked me, hey, like the main reason I would like to do this, or there's really two reasons, is first of all, I would like to lose some weight. But then second, I'd like to learn more about nutrition because we didn't get that much in school. And I'd like to see how I could maybe apply some of that to my clients or my patients in the future. So you see, like, that's what I mean. Like, they often don't really know, and that's okay. You know, you can't be a specialist in everything.
Right, yeah. Like, that like also comes with MDs are not specialized in hormones.
No, or nutrition.
If I'm correct, and what I've heard from doctors is that they get about, like, an hour course on nutrition.
Yeah, which, I mean, you know.
And you know, when I'm working with clients like this, hormonal issues, all that being said, yeah, I can definitely help people with that. But most of the time, it's me, the client, and their doctor, and we're all working together.
Yeah.
But usually, those doctors are on the functional med side of things. Because they're willing, like they look at the whole body as a whole, right? They typically are trying to get to the root cause of the issue versus, you know, putting a Band-Aid over something, right? And that's why I go there. But again, like I said, the best kind of doctors, in my opinion, are the ones that are in the middle. They are not biased to the Western. They are not biased to the Eastern. They will use supplements and lifestyle when they can, but if you absolutely need a medication, they will put you on a medication. Like that's where I believe the magic is.
For sure. I love that. Mm-hmm. All right. Next one. When calculating calorie needs, do I use my current weight or my goal weight? It depends, as always. This is a shorter question. It's pretty simple. When we are looking at maintenance, right, you're maintaining your weight, your results. This is where we use current weight. So you just use your total body weight, et cetera. When it comes to muscle gain, I would also do the same thing. So we calculate your macros based on your current weight, right? Your starting point, we look at protein, carbs, fats, et cetera. And then from there, we're going to start increasing, right? And that increase is going to not be based on your current weight, et cetera, is going to be based on how well you're progressing, right? If we're gaining weight too fast, for example, okay, we want to dial it back a little. If we're not gaining at all, or maybe very slowly, we can maybe add some. So the very starting point will be based off your current weight, but afterwards it's going to be made on your progress and adherence and et cetera. So fat loss, if that's a goal, we'd like to go off lean body mass. Now, here's the thing, and we talked about this, like it's difficult to figure out. You know, we don't really have very great methods to figure out fat percentage, or at least that are available to most people. So in that case, we say, just to make things easier, we'll take your goal weight and we'll start to go off that, right? So protein needs, etc.
I think too, if you have a lot of body fat to lose, like you go off of target body weight.
Yeah. And just in general, like also here, we only calculate that as your first step. And then afterwards it's going to be based off your weigh-ins, off your, you know, your adherence, like how fast you're losing weight. Cool. Next one.
Suggestions for how to get enough calories when stress/anxiety make eating difficult. Sorry, there's like a fruit fly in here. So this is not uncommon. Typically, I mean, it can kind of go either way, right? So someone under a lot of stress and anxiety, some people can overeat, but then there's also people that, you know, they completely lose their appetite or their appetite decreases. this pops up in coaching often, you know, with people who are just like really stressed or something traumatic happens. We can see that appetite decreasing. We still want to try our best to get in food and nourish our body, because if we're under a lot of stress or anxiety is high and now we're like really under eating, that's just compiling more stress, right? So we've talked about food volume and volume when it comes to keeping us full, right? So we've talked about like a protein bar is low volume, high calorie. And then like a plate of food would be high volume with like the same amount of calories, right? So which one is going to keep you full longer? It's going to be the plate of food. So when we're in a situation where appetite has decreased and we just don't feel the desire to eat, we don't want to feel like we're force feeding. So in those situations, we will opt for more high calorie, low volume foods. So I actually made a post on this, which we will link below, but I'll give you some examples. So like a high calorie, low volume meal, we'll say, I have a bunch here. So Greek yogurt with granola and berries, right? Fairly low volume, but we can shoot those calories up. Oatmeal with protein powder, granola and berries, smoothies. And you can really make smoothies calorie dense. So you're adding in protein powder, berries, nut butter, you know, chia seeds, honey, maple syrup. You can add granola on there. And soon enough, that can end up being like a 500, 600 calorie smoothie, right? But you're also still getting in micronutrients there. Other examples, we could do like avocado toast with hemp seeds or a bagel and cream cheese with a protein shake. So you gotta get the point, right? These are high calorie, low volume foods that aren't going to make you feel like you're force feeding, right? Versus like a big plate of food with like rice and chicken and veggies. That's going to be tough, obviously, when you don't have an appetite. Other ones are things like jerky, cereal, applesauce, dark chocolate, olive oil. So like sometimes with clients in this situation, I will increase their fat intake because it's a lot easier to increase calories that way. So like if you think about a tablespoon of olive oil is like, you know, 13 grams of fat. So that's a couple hundred calories or 100 and something calories. I'm forgetting exactly. Nut butter, same thing. So like 2 tablespoons of nut butter is like 200 calories. So really easy to get the calories in without the volume. Jam, honey, maple syrup, you know, salad dressings, trail mix, granola. And on the opposite end, like a high volume, lower calorie foods would be like leafy greens, vegetables, you know, lean protein sources, sweet potatoes. Those have more volume with less calories, essentially. So it's just about altering the volume of your meal. It doesn't necessarily mean, you know, eat a bunch of like junk food, like lower quality foods. Yeah, you can definitely incorporate those just to help a little bit. But you can still get some nutrient dense foods in there while lowering the volume of your food.
Yeah, it's really using different foods for different scenarios. Because I think a lot of people run into this when they're trying to bulk, like when they're trying to do it too clean almost, you know, where it's like, all right, chicken and broccoli. I actually just talked to someone a couple of weeks ago in town. I ran into them and they told me I'd love to build some muscle and get into training, but I don't really want to do like the chicken broccoli thing. I was like, okay, that's interesting. Because that's like a very common thing, you know, where people think like it has to be like a bro meal kind of thing.
Right. You know? Yeah. Like the other night, like my appetite wasn't super high because appetite will ebb and flow, right? Or your hunger is going to ebb and flow.
It's normal.
I wasn't like super hungry. So I had a dense sandwich. So I had like my bread, I had some cheese on there, I had some turkey breast, I had some little bit of avocado mayo, some ghee butter. So it's a very calorie dense meal that doesn't have a lot of volume, but it's still, I'm still having, you know, some nutrients in there. It's not like just complete crap, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice one. Last question for today. How can I increase muscle without gaining fat? Is it possible? When we're talking muscle gain, we typically want to be in a calorie surplus. We want to slowly gain weight. How slow? Between 0.25 and 0.5% per week. That's very slow. You're going to have to do a lot of work for a long time, and it's going to take a while. And that's like half as fast as you can go with fat loss, you know? Which is why muscle gaining phases should also be generally be longer. Now, this is also going to depend on your experience level. Experienced lifters actually want to keep going very slow to kind of keep it as lean as possible. Whereas when you're new, you can actually go a little bit quicker. Now, there are scenarios where you can actually lose fat and build muscle at the exact same time. It's not going to always be the same rate. Usually it's not, but it is possible to have that, you know, best of both worlds, you know, muscle gain and fat loss. However, it's just not to be expected, right? Typically, for most people, we want to be in a deficit for weight loss or fat loss, want to be in a surplus for muscle gain. Now, exceptions where you could gain muscle and lose body fat at the same time, first of all, being newbie gains, especially combined with a higher protein intake. So let's say you haven't been eating a lot of protein. Well, what happens when you raise that protein intake combined with going from not working out to lifting weights a couple times a week, you might actually see quite a bit of body recomposition where that happens, right? Muscle gain and fat loss at the same time. It's very common for new lifters, basically. And I would say anyone who goes through this, like, benefit from that, right? Like, be happy that this is happening right now, because it's going to get more and more difficult over time. So that's the first exception. And second would be steroids. Very common. A lot of models are using steroids on, you know, Instagram, like fitness influencers, actors. Anytime you see like a crazy like actor, you know, transformation where they have to get ready for a role, it's usually steroids. It's very common. And I think it's, I mean, we did talk about this already, so I don't want to dive into this too much, but it is something to keep in mind, right? Especially if you look at bodybuilders, you know, reality is most of them are not natural, and that's okay. That's a choice. But I'm just saying, hey, we can't really compare ourselves to those people, right? So in most cases, you want to go slow. However, you will gain some body fat, and that sucks, but that's how it is. We can mitigate how much it is. We want to go slow. You know, we don't want to push it too long, because if we get to a point where we do lose some definition and a little too much, hey, maybe let's dial it back. Or let's maybe consider a mini cut. But that's also why you will often see people doing a bulk, you know, muscle gaining phase, followed by a cut. Because first we're trying to build as much muscle as possible with as little fat gain as possible. And then afterwards, we're trying to lose as much body fat as possible while maintaining as much muscle as possible.
When you're looking at how big of a surplus to go into, like, we're talking small, like it could be like a 100 to 200 calorie increase, right? It doesn't have to be anything huge.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Because we often want to get excited and rush it a little bit, right? And this is where people do dirty bulks and stuff and just gain a whole bunch of body fat. Like, just be patient, you know?
Right.
One step at a time. And
obviously resistance training, weight training is very important in a bulk.
Huge. Yeah. Very important.
You can do like a little bit of cardio, but typically people tend to like overdo it. But you could incorporate a little bit, more for like health reasons. But most of it should be weight training.
Yeah. It's the thing, you know, like combine what you're doing with your goal, right? If you're trying to build muscle, hey, maybe you want to lift weights, right? If you want to improve your cardio, go running, go cycling, you know. If you want to improve your health, maybe do a combination. But this is where what we do needs to make sense, right? If we really want to have solid, like, physique results or physical results, we got to put the right work in. We can get some results with, like, you know, body weight workouts, etc. Is going to be optimal for most people? Probably not. It's still going to be okay. Like, we can make results there, but, you know, the stimulus needs to be there. We want to lift weights if you want to build muscle. Cool. Awesome. Solid episode. I really like this one. Once again, guys, if you have any questions, feel free to submit them. And then we'll probably be back with another Q&A pretty soon, within the next week or two, three, maybe. We'll see.
Sounds good. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening. If you want to help us grow the show, please make sure to leave us a 5-star rating or share this episode on your Instagram stories. Now, if at any point you feel like you need more help, you can always reach out to Christine or myself directly via any of the links in our show notes, because we're here to help. Thanks again, and I'll talk to you in the next episode. We'll